men used to knock at my door for one reason, and it wasn't usually during the day. But this knock was very different. There were two men at my door, and they were looking for some place to hide. Well, I knew who they were. All of Jericho knew who they were. Israelites. The land was living in terror and chaos because of them. Everyone had heard what their God did for them when they left Israel, when they left Egypt. He made a path through the middle of the Red Sea. No one could stand against them, and we were next in line. But for some reason, I knew that I needed to help them. So I hid them on my roof. Not very clever, I know. But while they were up there, another knock came at my door. This time it was a messenger from the king of Jericho, no less. He was asking me, well, demanding, really, that I turn these spies over to him. So I lied. I told him that they were already gone, but if he hurried, he might be able to catch them. When I look back on all of it now, I can see that God was chasing after me. But why me? I was, let's just say I'm not proud of how I lived my life. He could have brought destruction. Well, God already knew I was living a destroyed life. And yet here I was with this opportunity to help these two men that served the one true God over all creation. So I made my choice. I would help them. And then I got a little bold and I asked them to guarantee my safety, mine and my entire family, for helping them. Well, they told me that they would honor my request if I didn't betray them. They gave me their word, their very lives, and that guarantee. And then they gave me this scarlet cord, told me to hang it outside my window as a sign to the rest of Israel. Well, you better believe I made sure I didn't lose this. From the moment they snuck out my window unnoticed to the time they came back and knocked on my door again. It's funny that those faces that brought fear at my door the first time now brought such relief. See, for Jericho, it took destruction to bring change. It could have been my destruction. The life I was living was leading to my end. I should have been buried under those walls of Jericho with everyone else. But I'm here to tell you that that one true God, the Lord over all, reached down into my pain and my shame, my messed up, broken life to save me and give me life to the full. I was hanging on to so much trash, so much emptiness. Nights of regret, oh, and days of shame. See, I had to let go of where I was, who I was, so I could turn and grab hold of the cord of redemption that pulled me out of that brokenness and set me on the path to where I am right now. My life is so different. I live among the Israelites now. Can you imagine that? God saved me. My entire family, he preserved my bloodline. Praise God for his mercy on me. I went from almost destroyed to completely delivered. Oh, I'd better go. I think there's some friends at my door.
Thank you, Rahab. I think Rahab's story really could be all of our story, how God delivers us and saves us sometimes from a terrible past. I hope you've been enjoying these monologues each week. Just gives a firsthand account of what we're going to be studying in our Bloodline series, One Family, One King, One Inheritance. We're talking about week three. And can I just tell you, this week is just one of those weeks, knowing that this week would happen, brought me to tears. I don't know, this week, there was just something about this week. You know, at the end of the week, you say, man, that was just one of those weeks. There's just something about this week that the whispers of the past or the whispers of a reputation tend to creep in. I don't know what it is, but this week I was hearing things. And maybe I'm crazy. Probably am in some situations. But I was hearing unqualified, sinful, broken, disobedient, too young. Sometimes the reputations can mess with you. But the purpose of today is to show us that God is not limited to our past. His purpose is not limited to our past. And I love somebody put it like this after first service. Jesus takes the very things we see as obstacles and turns them into pathways. We just have to know how to follow. It's a great truth we all need to lean into. And what God preached to me this week, I am privileged to give you the word that God already gave to me. And if you're a Sunbury, I hope you're leaning in as well, and we welcome you here. But let's pray together. Father, keep us humble. These words are your words, not mine. But through your word, you speak. So speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, Rahab had a reputation as well. And this reputation really followed her all throughout Scripture as we're going to study together today. If you have your Bibles, no matter where you're at, other than driving, of course, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 2. If you still have one of these, this is a Bible that you can write in, actually. It's really nice. But you can also head over on your Bible app, too. Technology is sometimes great. But you can put your notes in there. I will be cross-referencing a few things, so it'd be good. You can follow along in Joshua chapter 2. Also, keep your pulse on Hebrews chapter 11 as well. But Rahab had a reputation. And so this is where we meet Rahab in Scripture. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly. Everybody doesn't have to know everything you're doing. Facebook doesn't have to know what you had for breakfast each day. And I know if you don't cook that much and you cook a really nice meal and you're like, I did a really good job. I think everybody should know. And so you take a picture and you make it all nice and neat and maybe have the steam come up. These aren't bad things. I'm just saying, like, people don't need to know everything about your life, every single thing you do. And it got me reminded of a picture that I sent recently. My small group went to dinner together, and we also went to the theater, and I always like to get popcorn, and I don't believe in popcorn a lot of times in theaters unless you know how to chew right. You guys know that. But I got some popcorn, and what I like, I think popcorn tastes better on day 4. Right, Darren? No, Darren's in my small group, and he just hates this. But on day 4, I took a picture of the popcorn that I was eating and said, tastes better than day 1. Nikki saw this picture that I only sent to my small group, and she said, you couldn't clean off the counter first? I mean, look at this. Look at the mess around here. You couldn't find a place that wouldn't show, like, that it's a little messy right now. And I'm like, I didn't even think of that. And then on day 6, as the popcorn began to get better, I took another photo and sent it to our small group. Just to say, hey, still tasting good, day 6. And I changed the spot, I changed the location, but still, Nikki said, you couldn't clean off the spot because there was a little bit of a mess. They're going to know that we're not all nice and clean. They're going to see the mess. Don't you know sometimes in our life, our reputation and who we used to be can creep in to remind you and even get you to focus on the mess and not the purpose that God has for you? But not everybody needs to know. Joshua's like, hey, listen, not everybody needs to know this. But Joshua, son of Nun, sent 2 spies from Shittim. You got to be careful when you're preaching this. It's a long I and not a short one. It just changes things a little bit to the ears. It's from Shittim. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. First of all, let's talk about who Rahab is. Rahab is a Canaanite living in the city of Jericho. Jericho would be the first city that the Israelites will conquer and have victory over in the promised land. Canaan was that land of milk and honey that was promised all the way back to Abraham, as we studied last week, when God said, Abraham, your inheritance is gonna be a lot of descendants. They're gonna number like the stars in the sky and the sand. This is up the road from that. And this is how God is going to establish his kingdom. But they needed to go through the Canaanite people and, first of all, Jericho. Now, Rahab would have been considered an enemy of God. She wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't part of the chosen people. But God still used her. And even though, on top of her really being an enemy of God, she was also a prostitute. She was a harlot. This was her reputation. But before you judge her too much, because that word can have some type of connotation, there were many types of these harlots back in the day in Canaan. A lot of them were used in worship. Worshiping to the other gods, where these acts would happen with these women called harlots. But a lot of scholars believe that Rahab was just a common harlot, meaning that more than likely Rahab had a debt to pay for her family. Something had happened, there was a debt to pay in her family. So she was forced into this career, forced into this profession. And back then, women weren't treated the same as they were today. They were more so treated as, dare I say it, property, but there wasn't an economic advantage for women to have jobs that were reputable like the men. So it was more than likely that she was forced into this type of work. But aren't you glad that God sees more than the outside of who we are? God sees past our reputation, and God sees to our heart. See, while the world might have labeled and saw Rahab as a harlot, as a prostitute, God saw her as his daughter. And he used her in spite of what everybody else was saying about her. And then God, through the faithfulness of Rahab, turned her purpose. No longer was she a harlot. No longer was she in that lifestyle. She was turned, and she was actually became a mother, and a mother to Boaz, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, here in Matthew, to usher in Jesus. There is a prostitute in his lineage. And Boaz, we know, married Ruth. And so that would make Rahab the great-great-grandma of King David. So we're not that far removed of this story, but God turned her from a harlot to a mother, to part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. This is what God does. He transforms us. If we let him, if we let him use us, no matter who we think we are or our past are, because she was faithful. Faithfulness is the key to God using us. Faithfulness is the key to our salvation. You see, she was faithful in what she did. And Hebrews 11 is known as the heroes of faith. All of these are Sunday school heroes that we hear about. Rahab is a part of them. And after this passage, it goes into saying, I don't even have time to talk about David and so forth and so forth. But he had time to mention Rahab and purpose and how God used her by faith. Not initially by deeds, but initially by faith. The prostitute Rahab. See, even in the New Testament, they're writing her and giving her that name still. Because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Now, the wars that God allowed the Israelites to win, yeah, they destroyed a lot of civilizations and people, but they weren't innocent people. They were disobedient and enemies of God. Elsewhere, and Peter, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? She straight up lied. Now, is there good lying and bad lying? No, there isn't. Can God use us in our brokenness, in our mistakes? Absolutely. But there was purpose behind this lie. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. We begin by faith, and then God cleans us up. Without deeds, it's dead, though. Our faith should propel us to be different. Our faith should propel us from our past into a future purpose. There needs to be a shift in who we are. But Rahab pleaded, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness. Can everyone just say this? Kindness. Can you bump your neighbor and just say, be kind? I know it's like, oh, let's bump them and then be kind after you just hit me. Okay. You will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Rahab's plea for kindness. And the word here, the Hebrew word, is hesed. Now, hesed means this purpose, this covering. So God's covenant to his people. It was actually a written covenant, but this word also means a covering, and it gives us a word picture here. The image is like an umbrella. The image is this covering. Not that this kindness would prevent the rain, but this kindness would prevent me from getting wet. And this is what Rahab was saying. The walls of Jerusalem were conquered. We already know God is going to give you the victory. In fact, we're all melting in fear of who you are. So the walls are coming down. But when the walls come down, I want to know that I am protected. Show us this kindness. Show us this covering that will lead us to safety. It's like an umbrella. It's still going to rain. Things are still going to fall, but they're not going to fall on me. And they're also not going to fall on the others who I invite to come into this. She pleaded kindness not only for herself, but also for her family. She wanted the covering or this kindness or this umbrella to get bigger and bigger and bigger so that when the walls fall, not only her, but her whole family and their family are saved. And the imagery is incredible. This imagery comes as a sign, an assurance that we have that through the blood of Jesus Christ, that when this world ends, when destruction comes, when this world is destroyed, we as people of God, because the crimson blood of Jesus Christ, we will be covered, those who are in Jesus. There will be a kindness given to all believers when this thing all ends. And the hope that we have, this kindness that we have, comes through Jesus Christ, who is our assurance. His life, his death, his first coming. It's an assurance that we all can have that if we're all covered in this kindness, we won't suffer, we won't die, but we will have a faith and a saving faith that can propel us forward for eternity with Jesus. And then there's Rahab's covenant. So she pleaded, and here comes the promise. Here comes a sure sign and the covenant. Our lives for your lives, the men said. So on our lives, that means if anything happens to you, it's going to happen to us too. They assured her of this. If you don't, if is a conditional word. This will happen if this. We will be saved if we believe in Jesus Christ. If we confess with our mouth that he is Lord and believe in our heart, we will be what? Saved. We will have a kindness about us, but it's if. If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly. We'll cover you. We got you. And faithfully, when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. Don't you? It could have been any color, but it's a scarlet color, signifying God is a forward thinker, forward thinking about how Jesus' blood, this crimson red, will cover us. See, the sectioned wall pointed to God's pinpointed salvation. So when the two spies, and did you notice there was only two spies? 40 years before this moment, Moses sent 12 spies. What happened when those 12 spies came back? 10 of them were freaked out of their minds and said, nope, we are not going there. But then there's two, including Joshua. So Joshua learned, I'm not sending that many again. Now, we only need two this time. And so they brought this report back to Joshua, just saying, listen, the Lord has given us the land. Through Rahab, through a prostitute, there came confidence in victory through God's sovereign plan. And they said, he's given us the land. So God said, all right, for 7 days, I want you to march around the city. Once every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around the city 7 times. And then a trumpet will blow. It will sound. And then you will give a shout, and the walls will come tumbling down. And that's exactly what happened, other than one section of the wall. You know, I got to go see Jericho on my trip to Israel, and it was one of my favorite locations because we didn't have to stand in line for a couple hours to see somewhere. The church was built to preserve the spot where they think Jesus was born. That was really great. But this was an archaeological site where they literally they dug up the walls of Jericho, and they could see it and verify this story that the walls came down just as was described here in this passage. So the walls came down other than this one section in the house of Rahab that they said, nothing, you won't be destroyed. And in fact, they went and they got Rahab and the family and brought them to live with the Israelites, to become part of the family of God. But it's this pinpointed salvation, this pinpointed purpose that God has for each and every one of us. We are all part of God's creation. We are all part of God's family, but each of us has a pinpointed purpose for our life that he wants to use you. And a lot of times he wants to use you because of your past, because of the mistakes that you made. God can give you a passion to move forward and maybe even a grace moving forward that you wouldn't have had if you didn't struggle with something. But there's this pinpointed salvation that will also happen when Jesus returns as well. All of those who give their life to Jesus will be saved. And then there's the crimson cord. The Hebrew word for this is tikwal. But at tikwal, it offered this new life. It was this expectance. In other areas, this word is used to offer hope. So when you combine the two purposes of tikwal, this crimson cord, it provided this expectant hope of salvation. By hanging the scarlet cord outside of the window, And see, there needed to be obedience and a step of faith to hang the cord, right? Because even though the promise was made, even though the covenant was made, Rahab still had to invite all of her family and explain this story to say, hey, listen, this whole thing's coming down, but you gotta come into my house and we're gonna hang this scarlet cord. I'm sure some of them was like, really, what? You, Rahab? You're gonna be the savior of this family? And she said, yes, come in. And she had to physically hang the cord to make sure salvation came. So while salvation is offered to us, we have to do something. We have to step out in faith for us to receive the kindness that God promises us. So what do we do about it? If you're in Sunbury, Pastor Ryan's gonna take you the rest of the way with some challenging questions, some challenging statements. And it just starts with this. Do you believe this? This is an incredible story. God's love is incredible. It's almost too good to be true. But I can tell you this, this story is verified. Jericho existed. This story can be trusted. And if we believe it, we will live it. We will tell people. We'll offer people this salvation to come under the umbrella of salvation with us. I know some are gonna say, nah, I don't want any of that. But you did your part in stepping out. And then we gotta trust God to take it from there. It's this actionable faith. Bringing action to your faith actually proves that your faith is real. And that's the type of faith that God can use. So remember these few things. Our past is the reason Jesus was born. Our sinful past, the things that we've done in the past, it's why Christmas exists. It's why Jesus had to be born of an innocent baby. It's why he had to die to offer this promise. It's because we're not good enough on our own. We make mistakes. We have a reputation, some of us. But your reputation doesn't have to define you. When God enters your life, he then refines you and defines you. Our past is never good enough for salvation, and it's not shocking enough to keep us from it. God uses those with a past. Don't think you're not good enough. Don't think because you don't have some Christian degree or pastoral degree, you can't have the knowledge that will bring somebody to Jesus Christ about the Word of God. Don't think that. You're qualified because of Jesus. God can use you. Even though sometimes things in your past aren't the best thing. What whisper might be keeping you from letting God use you? I really think when God wants to use us the greatest, that's when those whispers come. It's not by accident, because we have this enemy that is prowling around like a lion ready to devour you. You. We can't let that happen. And I love this. I just heard this, that if you're not being messed with, that means Satan doesn't think you're worthwhile to mess with. Isn't that incredible? Think about that. If you're dangerous to Satan, which we all need to be, then he's gonna try to get at you. He's gonna try to bring those whispers to you that you're not good enough, that you're not qualified, that because of this, you can't do that. But don't let that keep you from being used, because God redefines you. God redefines your past to bring you a present that can usher in an incredible future that can last years and decades beyond you. And this truth is why I love Rahab. Think about this story and think about this statement and think about your life. God did not change her before he used her. Think about this. He didn't change her and then use her, right? Her faith against all odds. I mean, this faith that she had, she was putting her life on the line here. She was dead if anybody found out who she was harboring. She was dead. But still, this fear in her actually created an incredible faith. Fear didn't paralyze her. Fear didn't cause disbelief. When there's opportunities of fear, there's opportunities for faith. These past couple years, right? They've been rough. I'm tired of hearing it and frankly tired of saying it, but it's real life. They've been tough on a lot of us for all kinds of reasons. And is there a reason to fear? Sure. On the surface level, there are things to fear. But when we have God, when we have this faith, that fear should actually push us to have more faith. Because that faith that you exhibit in fear will spill out to others who are so fearful they can't even go out in public. But we can't live in fear. We gotta live in faith. And Rahab didn't let the fear of being destroyed by the Israelites stop her from being used by God. But she was used by God. She had faith, she was used, and then she was changed. That was the process here. She believed it, she acted on her belief, and then God started to change her. God does not have to change us before he uses us. Now, he will change us. He needs to change us to give us new life, to give us a new thinking process, to give us freedom from the chains of sin that bind us. He will do that. But that doesn't have to happen first. It happens in the process. And it's called holiness. It's that seeking the process. Rahab's name and Jesus' family tree shines the purpose and hope of Christmas, period. Somebody like Rahab, God used. So somebody like you, whoever you think you are or think you were, it doesn't matter. God wants to use you. God wants to use the obstacle that you think you have as a pathway to usher in the second coming of Jesus. You see, you all got this very simple crimson string yarn, piece of yarn. And I know some of you are probably gonna throw it away. That's okay. But some of you may need to put this in a place of prominence. Because some of you need to be reminded that you're not defined by your past, you're defined by the blood of Jesus Christ. You might even put this in your workplace and have somebody say, Andre, what's that for? Right? Then you can say, let me tell you a story about this woman named Rahab. She was a prostitute. What? There's prostitution in the Bible, huh? And then you can tell them about the love of Jesus. How God can redefine our past. You might need to put this in your mirror at home, somewhere where you look every day, just to remind you that when those whispers come, you're not defined by those whispers of your reputation of the past. You're defined by the blood of Jesus who covers your sin and sets you on a new path. I don't know how you want to deal with this, but I just thought I'd give it just as a visual representation that you can take out of here and just be reminded of the real reason for Christmas. Jesus came to save us, to redefine us, to not let us live in our past, but live in an incredible, expectant, hopeful future. Let's pray. Father, we think of so many things when we think of maybe our past. And Father, forgive me when I allow that past to almost paralyze how you want to use me. Father, I know I'm not alone. I know there are some out there who deal with the same thing. But Father, here we are. We're yours. Use us as you please. And give us strength to fight through thoughts, to fight through these demons who want to destroy us. Father, help us to fight. And Father, I pray that if there are those who don't know you, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit right now that you would just enter into their life. That they can just say, Father, I believe. I confess my sin. I know what I've done is wrong. But thank you for letting it not stop there. Father, thank you for a hope, but just forgive me. Set my feet on a different path. On a different road. I want to walk in your purpose. I want to walk in your plan, not mine. Father, I decide right now to give my life to you. that from this day forward, I will live in your truth, not in Satan's lies. We love you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If that was the first time you gave your heart to Jesus and it was the first time really you decided to give your life to him, fill out an I Choose Jesus card. Send us a message, send us a text, I Choose Jesus, to that number right there, 570-273-0088. We wanna know about it. Tell somebody about this new salvation because we wanna come alongside you. But know that Jesus loves you, God loves you, and he proves it through Jesus Christ. Hey, next week, I'm also excited. I'm excited every week. I mean, I get to preach the word of God, you know? It's incredible. We're gonna talk about Jesus's father, not God, but Joseph. And so I hope you return this incredible series. Please go have a purpose-filled week. God bless you.